Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
Because how many of you know that this book of Acts don't have no benediction at the end. See, that's another reason I feel that we could call this book the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is still acting. Yeah, see, the apostles are off the scene, but I believe that one of the reasons we don't have a benediction is because the Holy Spirit is still here working through his church. Amen. He's still working in and through all of our lives, right? Amen. 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 And he can touch any one of us today and use in a mighty way. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Let's look tonight at Paul's second missionary journey. So we see his preparation for the missionary journey. In chapter 15, beginning with verse number 36, it says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord.'" So the schedule was, or the thinking was, let's just go back to the cities that we had already planted these churches in on the first missionary journey. Let's just go see how they're doing. So the second missionary journey was supposed to be just a follow-up visit of the first missionary journey. But it didn't turn out like that. And you'll see why. The scripture says, he says, verse 36, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him alone, who had deserted them in Pamphylus and had not gone with them to the work. So Paul said, "No, we're not going to take John Mark." And Barnabas said, "Yes, we are." And Paul said, "No, we're not." And Barnabas said, "Yes, we are." And Paul said, "No, we're not." And Barnabas said, "Yes, we are, Paul." And Paul said, "No, we're not." And verse 36:9 says, "And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord." So Barnabas was so committed to taking Mark, that he said, "Okay, well, I'll take Mark, but I ain't taking you." Now, isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly how it was. The text really don't tell us. No. I mean, it could have been Paul said, "Okay, well, if you're going to take Mark, I ain't going." It could have been like that. Mm-hmm. He said, "Well, fine. If you don't want to go with us, you don't have to go with us. But Mark is gone." So do you see they had a falling out? Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord. What I like about the Bible is the Bible tells the truth.
Amen.
See, the Bible shows us how people really are.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And what you're going to see by people, it was just like when I was getting ready to go to Ecuador, and I was sitting there, I don't know if Pastor Bell, I don't know if he could just, see some wear across my face. I don't know what it was. But he said, "Timothy, don't worry." He says, "People are people. God is where they are. People are people." Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, "Remember this. God is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And people are people." I said, "Now that's profound thought there. I mean, that needs to be wrote in a book somewhere." Amen. Yeah. And that just took away any fear or anxiety that I had. That God is everywhere. Amen. And everywhere I went, that thought kept coming back to me. God is everywhere. I said, man, he's over here. I said, boy, ain't that something? Yeah, God is everywhere. Amen. And people are people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So, see, sometimes we want to put people up on a pedestal. Yeah. Yeah. But see, the Bible don't paint that kind of rosy picture. Yeah. Yeah. It lets us know even people like Paul and Barnabas, and Barnabas was one of the most encouraging and loving men that you would ever find in Scripture. But Barnabas even fell out with Paul. Wow. So that lets you know that people, yeah, they have fallen outs. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
People have, there's only one person in the Bible that was perfect, and that was Jesus.
Amen.
And everybody else was not perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that's why I really like the Bible. I say I can identify with imperfect people. Hello, and you ought to identify with imperfect people, I tell you. Hello, somebody. Don't be sitting there thinking, oh, he identified with imperfect. Pastor, imperfect? Well, you imperfect. Hello, somebody. All us imperfect up in the house of the Lord. Amen. Christ washed all your sins away. Amen. He washed all your sins away, but he didn't wash you away.
Amen.
All right. Conflict with Paul and Barnabas. That's what we see here. Conflict. I don't care who you are. I don't care what relationship you are in. There will be conflict.
Amen.
Yeah. You can find Miss Right, Mr. Right. And now, if you find Mr. Right and you single, now, if you find Miss Right, and you single, marry. Yeah, you want to find somebody that's right for you. But if you're looking for Mr. Perfect or Miss Perfect, you won't find them. You have to find somebody that's right for you.
Amen.
Amen. And one of the ways you know that person is right for you is you can put up with that person that other folk probably couldn't put up with.
Amen.
Yeah. That's how you know. Yeah. In my pre-marriage counseling, one of the things that I often talk to couples about is name the five things that you don't like about that person. And if they never change, can you stay with that person the rest of your life, just like that? Because see, most people, they'll pick out three or four things that they don't like. But once we get married, I'm going to fix it. Yes. Once we get married, I'm going to fix him. Yeah. I tell them, tell me a couple of things. A couple of things. And a lot of times, I can't think of nothing. I said, well, y'all ain't ready to get married yet. Amen. No. Because people are people. There's always something about that person that you don't like. And if you hadn't saw something in that person that you don't like, then that means you're in the infatuation stage. You're way up here. I mean, you're in the clouds. I got to bring you back down here to earth. Amen. That's got to be something about the person you don't quite like, but in the back of your mind, I'll fix that. I like being like this. Hello, somebody. Yeah, that's why when you get ready to get married, you find somebody that's right for you. And the big thing, the more that I stay married and the longer I stay married, I just appreciate my wife. Ooh, more than I ever appreciated her. Because sometimes I make myself sick. I just can't stand me sometimes. And I said, she loved me anyway. Yeah. Pinch me. Let me make sure I'm still real. Lord have mercy. But she liked me. Amen. Yeah, she loved me. Yeah. And do you know God didn't ask us to like one another? You won't find that in the Bible. God tells you to love one another. We are commanded to do that. Yeah. See, I'm commanded to love you whether I like you or not.
Amen.
Yeah. I got to love you. Particularly if I want God to love me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because remember how we learned the other week in the Our Father's prayer. Mm-hmm. God is going to treat us like we treat others.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Forgive us of our trespass and we forgive those who trespass against us. So if I ain't forgiving, I'll never forgive her. But God said, okay, then that's the way you want it. I'll never forgive you. Oh, my goodness. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Conflict. I'm just trying to get you to see conflict is a human thing. You just got to learn how to deal with conflict. Most people keep running from conflict. No, learn how to deal with conflict. You got to learn how to even argue right. Yeah, some folks don't know how to even fuss right. Yeah. And then some folks act like they don't know what quit means. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. See, sometimes a person say, hey, don't say nothing else. I don't want to hear nothing else. Wait a minute now. What is it you don't understand by that? You running up on a person. You can't tell me to shut up. Wait a minute now. They already done told you, you invade my space. I don't want to hear nothing else. You can't tell me. I'm grown. Now, you finna mess up your house being grown. That's a timeout. Even in football, when they say timeout, man, they break it up. Even in boxing, when the bell ding, and they trying to knock each other's head off. But when the bell sounded, they got the common sense to go to each other's car. You know, go to their car. Amen. So when a person sometimes don't reach the limit and say, you know, but don't say nothing else to me. Take that as a good advice. And go sit down. All right. Well, it's over with right now. Go sit down. Yeah, go get you some peanut butter and crackers and cheese. Amen. Yeah, that's, you got to cool it. You got to know how to, you know, time out. Yeah. Yeah. Even when a person is, you know, Y'all fussing right here, but now this person is turning their back and they're going on over here in the living room. Don't be following them over here in the living room. They're trying to get away from you. Hello, somebody. Is I'm making any sense? I'm just talking about conflict. I'm just talking about conflict. Hey. You gotta know how to read body language.
Amen.
Oh Lord have mercy. Let me leave this alone. Because oh my goodness. Amen. Amen. What is this? There you go. All I need to do is put a handshake with it. Yeah. You gotta know how to read some body language. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go on. I don't cover nothing else. I'm just trying to wake y'all up.
Amen.
Let's go to our lesson. Number two. So we see conflict with Paul and Barnabas. But number two, choosing Timothy. We see that I believe that one of the reasons that Barnabas wanted to take Mark is because Mark was a young man and you need somebody to do some grunt work. Mm-hmm. Do y'all know what I mean by you need somebody to do grunt work? Grunt. Yeah. An old man don't need to be hauling around luggage and stuff. He needs some young guys that's going to help, you know, do some grunt work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And so Barnabas took Mark, and so now you got Paul and Silas, two old men. They needed a young man to do some grunt work. That's where Timothy comes in verse number, chapter 16, verse 1. And he came also to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconia. Now, notice Timothy came from a household of a mixed marriage. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? Where his mama and daddy was unequally yoked together. She was a Jewish woman, but she was a believer. But his father was a Greek. It didn't say he was a believer. So you see, we got a Gentile that hooked up with a Jewish woman, but this Jewish woman had became a Christian. Do you see that?
Amen.
And then when you read over in 1 Timothy, you'll find that Timothy's mama and grandma,
bread of life, sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the study that you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinthebook.com. Again, that is alookinthebook.com. And come by and visit us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bobaway Community Baptist Church. And remember, until next time, take a deeper look in the book.